Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Amen. Wasn't that so good? I love that. Eric, thanks for doing that, taking the time out of your super busy schedule and allowing us to take a peek into the day in your life. And so, very good. And today, as we know, it's a holiday weekend. It's Memorial Weekend, Memorial Day. And so as we just take a quick moment and remember those who sacrificed their lives so that we can live in the land of the free and be able to have this freedom that we have in our lives. And so I just want to take a quick minute and pray for all the families that are walking through that, just that time, that season of life, and today just having that memory and that chance for us to say thank you, a chance for us to say, and take advantage of that, just like Eric was sharing, of enjoying this weekend with our family and enjoying this time and this freedom that we have together. And so let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for just speaking to the lives of the men and women who serve our country. God, we're praying for the families who are walking through loss and who are grieving, and how this weekend can bring up those memories, God. And we're just praying that you comfort those families. We're praying that you just fill them with your peace, God. We're praying that you surround them with just an incredible community that's helping them and strengthening them and walking with them, God. Thank you for the lives and the hearts and the mindsets of those who serve, who are willing to give their lives for our country. And it's just not for the country, but for the people that live in this country, God, and how you are paving the way for us and how you have given your life for our freedom as well, God. We thank you so much. We lift up your name. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, today we are wrapping up our series, and we are in week eight. How awesome is that? And I don't want it to end. I just want to keep going, you know. Let's take this to week 15. But because we're studying the book of Mark, and today we're in Mark chapter 10. Last week, Jason gave us an incredible message. Wasn't that a great message last week? So good. You can catch up with that online as well. But Mark chapter 10, and we're going to close here because we're going to start our summer series next week. We're going to be walking through the book of Proverbs together. Wisdom for life. Wisdom for making decisions. I love the book of Proverbs. We're going to be doing that together. We're going to be doing some great summer things as well, how to create community during all of this. And so we encourage you guys to come back for that series and walk through that through the summer. The reason we're stopping at Mark chapter 10 and not walking all the way through is because the weeks leading up to Easter, we covered those sections of the story in Mark of the road of passion leading up to Easter, leading up to the cross and Palm Sunday and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so that leads us, Mark chapter 10 leads us right up into that time. And then we're going to wrap up this series and go into Proverbs there, just so you see some of the thought processes in that. But I want to spend a few minutes. If you have your Bibles, we're in Mark chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 13, and we're going to walk all the way down close to verse 30. But Mark chapter 10, starting verse 13. What I want us to understand and see is that Jesus is in this mode of teaching where he has already done a string of miracles and he's walking through this incredible ministry. And then here in Mark chapter, these last few chapters that we've been studying, Jesus walks in and starts teaching us about life, where we get to peek into the day in the life. And he interacts with people, and those people will ask him questions and they'll ask him certain things. And a lot of times the religious leaders, they hear that Jesus is coming, and so they confront him with questions and they try to trip him up. They try to knock him off. They ask him questions that they think are going to stump him. And Jesus just responds and helps teach them. This is the New Testament. This is what I am teaching. This is what, in fact, I'm trying to get you back to the New Testament of what really the heart of God is. And so he starts off with Mark chapter 10. And a guy comes to him and he asks him a question about divorce. He asks a question about marriage. And so he tries to trip Jesus up. And so Jesus goes back. He affirms the Old Testament, but also then teaches and said, hey, it's about the heart. It's about how I want to move and work in the heart. And so we're going to come back and revisit that in just a few minutes because I feel like God kind of led us to this Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13, because it's so prominent. And I believe it's an incredible way to wrap up this entire series because it ties it all together and how God is doing. And so for you and I, there's so many seasons of life that if we walk through life and we have a mentor or a teacher or maybe somebody that we're walking with who is guiding our lives or speaking into our lives, or maybe you've experienced this as a parent, maybe you've experienced this as a friend, or maybe you've taught or reached down into the next generation and helped raising them up. But you and I both know that when we're teaching somebody or mentoring somebody, it's powerful to tell them the ways they can go, right? It's powerful to tell them a yes, but equally as powerful, sometimes you have to tell them no, right? You have to redirect them, so to speak. It's just not all, hey, this is it, this is what we're doing, but it's also, hey, let's get back on track, right? Let's get the guardrails up. Let me show you and direct you. Do this, don't do that, right? Like, do this, and I feel like so many times it's that balance of going here, do this, whoa, don't do that, right? Like, this is different here. Get back on track here. And so this is where we see Jesus. And Jesus is, he's been telling us which way to go, but now he's spending a few minutes, if you notice in Mark chapter 9, now he's going, wait, now listen, don't do this, don't do that. And so he's directing and guiding us as the good teacher. And so we pick up here in verse 13, and this situation arises where they're walking into a city, and all of a sudden they're disrupted because the people that are in that town or in that village, they're bringing little kids, babies, toddlers up to Jesus, because during that time it was a tradition for a well-known rabbi to speak a blessing over them or to pray over them. And so they're bringing them to Jesus, and Jesus, now that his status is booming, let's see how the disciples interact with the people who are trying to bring these people to Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Everybody still good? All right. Verse 13, it says, people were bringing the little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. I love this scene. I mean, imagine they're bringing your kid up and the disciples are like, whoa, don't bother Jesus. Like, he's on a mission. Like, he is the rabbi in the area. Don't bring him. And Jesus gets upset. Some version says that he is like, just, he's indignant. He's hurt. He's mad. He's frustrated and going, whoa, no, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. And he's teaching his disciples, and he looks down and he says, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven unless you are actually like these children. And one of the things that God has been using is raising my little daughter, who's 4 years old. And so some of you guys, or most of you know, we have three boys and then a little girl. And so have you noticed there's difference between boys and girls a lot of times, and the way that they're raised, especially at a younger age? My three boys, it's shirts off, WWE, like, let's go, right? Like, very hands-on. If I'm doing something in the yard, working in the yard, guess what they want to do? They want to do it. Like, they're walking up. They're like, hey, Dad, let me try it. Let me hold that. Let me do that. They want to hold that. But then we have a little girl. And it's so funny to see, and I'm not superimposing that every little girl is like this, but ours, it's so different. It's like two different worlds. She walks out. She sees me working. It's like she comes in and she goes, hey, Dad, what you doing? Well, you're working on some grass here? That's nice. Yeah. Dad, look at me for a second. I got to tell you this story. And she goes in this long story, right? Like, she's talking, and there's a whole difference is, and she doesn't want to do anything I'm doing, but what I love about it, what I'm noticing is she just wants to be there. She wants to talk. She wants to connect. And, you know, if I'm cutting the grass, she's kind of like walking beside me on the grass, you know, like telling me a story, like, oh, yeah, that's a good job, Daddy. Or I'm carrying something in the garage. She's like, Dad, you're so strong, right? Like, you are so, like, all this. And it's different because because she's connecting on a relational level. Like, she's connecting emotionally, and she wants to be filled that way. And it's incredible to see that difference. And I believe that's why there's this different connection, as, you know, for me and my boys, and a difference between me and connecting with my little daughter. And you see these different connections, the way they work. But the one thing that I believe God is teaching me is because I'm trying to notice, I'm trying to slow down. And if you're like me, sometimes I just like to churn through things. Let's get this done. Let's knock this out. And so it's incredible to sit back and just to learn from how God is teaching me through her. And I've noticed the past few weeks, because I knew we were preaching on this a few weeks ago, and so I just started kind of watching her, and everything she does at that age, my kids are like that, a lot of them still are. It's like the other day she pulled out this little to-go applesauce, and she's like, you know, she tries it for a minute, and she's like, Dad, can you open this, right? Like she don't even think about it. Dad, can you open this, right? And then I open it for her, I'm like, yeah, okay, here you go. And then she goes and she does something else, and she tries it herself for a minute, like, Dad, can you do this? Dad, can you knock this out for me? Dad, can you do this, right? And then she's like, oh, let's go to the pool, Dad, let's go to the pool. I'm like, okay, let's go to the pool. And then she's like, hey, can you help me do this? Hey, Dad, can you carry this? I'm like halfway to the pool, you know, she's got all her stuff, goggles up, and by the time we get there, I'm carrying everything, right? Like, Dad, can you carry this? Oh, I can't do this anymore. Here you go, Dad, can you do this? And I love that, because her mindset is, I'm going to try it, but there's going to be a point when I get overwhelmed, and I'm just going to talk to him. I'm just going to ask my dad, like, because I know he's going to help me out. I know he's going to walk with me here. I know he's going to be there. And I love this, because it reminded me how God is teaching me through that and teaching us through the next generation, and how little kids have this reliance, right? This dependence. I mean, sometimes too dependent, right? Amen. But like, this is reliance, this dependence of going, you know what? God, I can't do this. I need you, Jesus. I need you, God. I am so reliant on you. And Jesus points out to that fact and goes, you know what? The kingdom of God, that's what the mindset you need. That's the heart you need to receive the kingdom of God. And a lot of times as we grow older, I mean, we hope that we raise our kids or the next generation to be a little more self-resilient. But as we grow older, right, I see this even as my kids get older, but you start to do things on your own, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I can handle this. I can make my own decision. I don't need to consult with my dad or consult with who that is. Or maybe as we get adults, I don't need to consult with God. I can make this decision. I can do this, right? Like, I can handle this. It's on me. I'm strong enough. I can power through this, right? And we become almost self-reliant. And God is going, hey, I want you to get back to that childlike faith. Get back of understanding that I'm walking with you. And the moment you feel that overwhelmed, you can call on my name, and I'm going to be walking with you in that. And so we see this picture, but what I want us to see here is that he's pointing out that the disciples, and sometimes as adults, we can allow pride to take over our minds, right? Pride to take over our hearts. And pride will, if you're taking notes here, my first point is pride will hold us back from receiving from God. Pride will hold us back from receiving from God. Because what does pride do? Pride comes and goes, you know what? I got this, right? It's almost like my fists are closed. I'm holding tight to what I have. This is my thing, God. I can do this. I'm not sure. I really don't want you to peek into this conversation or this way of life. But yet, when I release my pride and go, you know what, God? I need your input. God, I need you to guide me. I need you to help me in this. I need to be reliant on you. And now my pride, look at this Proverbs here. We're going to sneak peek into Proverbs right here. Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And I love this quote. It says, pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. Pride is, I have to be right. This is my thing. I know what's best. We have a thing that we say on our team. I just said it this morning. And it's that in leadership, as we're thinking about making decisions, and that the best decision wins, right? The best answer wins. It doesn't have to be my answer. It doesn't have to be just my decision. But a collective, when we come together, the best decision, the best idea wins. And so pride is not allowing that to say, you know what, it's all on me. I got the decision. I have the answers. We've got to say in childlike faith. And then he continues on here. Because Jesus is so good. He's setting us up because he knows the conversations he's about to have with this person here in verse 17. And he continues here. And he has a conversation as he's continuing with another man. Verse 17. Everybody still good? Amen. Matt's closing the door there. Verse 17, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciple, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, I love how he brings that notion up again. Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We have a scene here where the Bible describes this rich young ruler. And he would have been a religious leader who was moved up quickly into the ranks. The Bible doesn't give us his name, but he gives us the Bible gives us the direction and the stature of this person. He's young, right? So he's moved up in the ranks very quickly. He's seen success fast. And it says he was rich. He had lots of money and lots of different things. And so he was successful at it. Well, he comes to Jesus and he hits his knees. Because if we notice the rich young ruler, he has all of this. He has influence. He has money. He has direction, all of these things, but yet he's still searching for something else. There's still something in his heart where he's going, this is not fulfilling me. This is not, I thought maybe all of this would help me really fulfill the hole in my heart, the hole in my soul, but yet when my head hits the pillow at night, I'm still searching. I don't know, there's maybe something else out there. And then he hears about this man, Jesus, who claims to be the Son of God, who claims to be Messiah. And so he comes and he falls down at Jesus' feet and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? God, just show me what I can do. And Jesus looks down at him and he says, oh, you must follow the law. And he goes and he starts this list, right? Like honor your father and mother, all these different things. And the man stops. And what does he say? Hey, I've done all of that. I've checked that box, right? Like, psh, here we go. I followed all of those different laws, right? And Jesus is going, okay, well, if you think that you have followed all of those laws, right? I want you to take all of your possessions and I want you to go sell it and give it to the poor and then come follow me. And this rich young ruler, it says his face falls and he's sad and he walks away because he can't abandon everything that he's worked on. He can't abandon all the hard work that he has had. He can't abandon all of that. So if we're looking at this, is Jesus looking at you and I and calling us and going, hey, well, if you're rich, you can't go to heaven, right? Like if you look at this, we may think that on the surface level, but it's not what Jesus is saying. And in fact, I mean, because rich is subjective, right? Because people in other countries may look at my life and go, "Woo, man, he has got a ton of money. He is rich. Look at everything that he has had." And so it's not a certain sum of money, but it's a heart posture that Jesus is calling out in this man. In fact, I love this because he comes and he says, good teacher, right? But then Jesus goes, why are you calling me good? Well, let's stop here because you're saying good teacher, but by whose standard are you calling good? Is it your good standard? And that's why you and I, as so many times, I remember one of the early things as a disciple, we used to go around and ask people, hey, we'd introduce and kind of not make it so forceful, but we'd say, hey, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? And 8 out of 10 people would say, to be a good person. And we see this here where Jesus is going, well, whose standard of good are we talking about? Because there are some people on the earth, I don't know about if they have the same standard of good that I'm thinking, right? I don't know, like all of a sudden it's like the standard is moving, but Jesus stops him and he goes, only God is good. He is the one who creates the standard. He is the example. He is the one that shows us what is good and what the path is. And he gives us this picture of who God is. And then he continues on and he says that what I want you to understand that with man, this is impossible to inherit eternal life. But with God, it is possible. And we see this if you're taking notes. Salvation comes through Jesus, not by what we do. Salvation comes by Jesus, not what we do. Jesus gives this picture of going, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and we can't come to church enough, right? Like, we can't do enough great things. In fact, when you and I read the Old Testament, when we read the law, we fall short, right? The Bible says that everyone has fallen short, all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And we see that, and then the Bible teaches that for the wages of sin is death, but Jesus is saying, I've paid the price for you. I've paid that. That salvation comes through Jesus alone. And we get this beautiful picture of salvation. And it reminds me of a story. You guys okay with the story? You know, I like to ask lots of questions. So it reminds me of the story of, this is Kid Illustration Sunday. Y'all ready for that? Okay. It reminds me of the story of my son, Lucas. And we were getting ready, actually, with the Clarks. We were going hiking at a particular place. When he was probably 3 or 4 years old, same age that Stella is now. And so we're going hiking, and we realize it's probably about a 2-mile hike. Okay, 3 or 4-year-old. Probably not making 2 or 3 miles, right? And so we make it. I'm thinking, yes, he'll make it at least halfway. This is going to be good. But about 100 yards in, right? Oh, I can't make it. Oh, right? Like, this is it. My legs are going to fall off, Dad. Right? Like, I can't do it. And you're just like, you're just begging him. Like, come on, just a little far. I can't carry you 2 miles. Like, you're just begging him to go a little farther. I can't. I'm so tired, right? The whole way. So finally, I pick him up, put him on my shoulders, and we walk almost the full way with him on my shoulders. I'm carrying him right here. I'm drenched, sweating, sun's down. I'm like, this trip is awesome, right? Like, all right, this waterfall better be amazing, right? And we get almost to the top, and you get to the corner, and all of a sudden you just hear the rumble, like, right? And he can hear it, and all his legs start going on my shoulders because, you know, my neck's burning, everything. And he starts getting excited, and so finally, I'm like, he's like, put me down, I hear it. So I put him down, and he starts running. I'm like, you what the, right? Like, you lazy, that's what I wanted to say. And he walks around the corner, and he's like, his eyes get real big, Dad! Come look at this thing. This waterfall is awesome. And it's like, I tried to tell you. And it's like, now I'm trying to enjoy this with everything burning, drenched, sweat, all of these things, right? But Lucas is like, he's just so excited. He's pumped. He's like, this is amazing. I'm so glad that we hiked, Dad. I'm so glad that we made it up here, right? Like, all of these things. And he's experienced this extreme joy. But after that, as I was reflecting on that story, the Holy Spirit reminded me, it's like, Daniel, that's what I have done through my son Jesus for you. That you can't make it to salvation. Like, your choice just gets us to the door, but my son paid the price for you, and that opens the door for you to receive salvation. With man, it is impossible, but only through Christ, because only Jesus was perfect, only Jesus was holy, and only a perfect and holy sacrifice can pay for the sins past, present, and future. Only that holy sacrifice, so only through Jesus that we can experience salvation. And you and I walk into this experience with God, this abundant life with God. And we're like, this is amazing, right? Like, I can't believe I get to experience this. But we get to point back to Jesus and going, you made this happen for me. You paved the way for me. You get all the credit. You get all the glory, Jesus. Like, it would be like us going, ooh, I went to church 12 times this week. Let me show you how I got salvation. Ooh, did you see how I helped that person? I am so good, right? But you and I, we don't live that life, right? Because that's prideful. But for me to go, I'm serving them because Jesus first served me. I only know how to love my wife because Jesus first loved me. He is love. So he showed me the standard in love by which I need to love. And we get this picture of going, Only through Christ, only through God do we experience this in Him. But I also don't want to skip this, and I'm going to try to hurry because we're already getting close to time. But because sometimes I think we hear that, and that is true for salvation. But then to walk in spiritual maturity, there is a part for you and I to play. That just doesn't stop there, right? One of my favorite illustrations is to help paint this picture. When me and my wife went on our honeymoon, we took dancing lessons, okay? And we were learning how to ballroom dance. And I grew up in the suburbs of Atlanta, okay? We weren't ballroom dancing for fun. And so we're taking these lessons on how to ballroom dance. I didn't know anything about ballroom dancing. And so, you know, I'm trying to make this happen, and I'm stepping on her feet. I'm like pushing her around and all these different things. But as we're walking, I experience, and she goes, wait, y'all need to stop. One of you needs to lead. You need to figure out who's leading the dance and then let them lead. And then the other person just follows. And I love this illustration because I love this picture of a dance and how when we receive salvation through Christ, it's like we enter into this dance with Christ, into this dance with the Holy Spirit. As God is shaping us, there is still a part for us to play, right? Like, we're only in the dance because of Jesus, but then there's a part for you and I to play, right? We still have to show up that morning and go, God, you take the lead, right? Like, you are in charge today. Help guide my decisions. Like, I got this big decision coming up, God. Like, I'm getting ready. I'm moving into this dance. Jesus, you take the lead. And what pride does is, Jesus, I'm in the lead. I can handle this, right? Like, I'm in charge. I know what to do with this. I have plenty of years of experience. I know how to make this happen, right? And all of a sudden, pride comes in, but humility says, you know what, Jesus? You lead. And you show me. You guide me. You direct me. I'm following your lead, Jesus. Show me which way that I should go. Show me the decisions I should make. God, what do I need, as Jason talked about, what do I need to cut off? What do I need to shape? What do I need to do? What guardrails do I need to put up? What relationships do you want me to eliminate? What relationships do you want me to lean into? And all of a sudden, now that Jesus is in the lead, now I have a part to play. Because I have to yield to His leading. And now He's guiding. Now He's directing me. And so, because I thought about this, and I thought about it's hard, if we don't understand this, to follow a teaching when Jesus is teaching about divorce, right? Or teaching about how to raise kids, or teaching about how to be a leader, and all these things. Because if Jesus is not in the lead, then we're not going to follow His teaching. But if Jesus is in the lead, and then when He gets to a teaching that corresponds with us in the world, it's like, okay, Jesus, you're in the lead. I know that your direction, you are good. You are holy. And your ways, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And my participation is I want to show up and I'm going to yield to what your word says. I'm going to yield to what your spirit says. I'm going to do the work of working out my salvation, allowing you to shape me and to change me and to mold me. And so as you guide and direct me. And just to sum this up in a quick note, it says we grow in maturity by doing and living out His will. We grow in maturity, that he changes us. He molds us into His image. And it's going back to that dependence, that childlike faith of going, Jesus, this is your plan, your will for my life. And I'm following you. I'm walking with you each and every step of the way. And then we continue on here because this is the conversation that I've had. Then I'm going to get ready to close, okay? Well, I got like a close after this close. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. We have this picture. Because if I am honest with you, and if I am a pastor in America today, and I began to pray, and honestly, I got convicted. And I was like, oh God, I pray that we not be the rich young ruler. That where we come with a position of, look what we have. Oh, God, I got a plan. Like, this is where it's at. I know which way I should go, and I feel like a lot of times we in America, because we have so much, we can take the position of the rich young ruler. And we come to Jesus, and the rich young ruler was coming, and he had a plan together, right? Like, he had an idea for his life, but he wanted to add Jesus to his toolbox. You know, it's like he wanted to add Jesus in and go, you know what? My spiritual box is checked, but my work box is good, right? Like, my marriage box is good. I'm already successful. That's good. And if I can add Jesus onto this is awesome, right? Like, this is it. And Jesus is going, what does he look at this man and go, And I want you to sell all of that because I want to be your life. I don't want you to rely on that. I want to direct every part of your life, that your relationship with me will cascade and trickle down into every other area. He's like, I want to be the center. I want to be it. I want to be your life. And if you will trust me with it, if you'll let me take the lead, you'll see that I created you. I knit you together in your mother's wombs. As Ephesians 2:10 says, I have great plans for you in the future. And if you will trust me. And the rich young ruler, he couldn't do it. He looked at his things and was like, I can't do it, Jesus. I can't trust you with all of that. And that's when Jesus looks back at us and going, I want to be your entire life. I want you to be guided by me, directed by me. I want you to follow me, pursue me, and I will take care of all of that if you will trust me and walk with me in that and understand this incredible truth. And then I'm going to close here in verse 28. Rachel, sorry. I told you I wasn't going to read this, and I changed my mind last night. She even messaged me, like, you going to read that? Anyway, verse 28, because the disciples speak up. It says, Peter spoke up. Shocker, right? Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you, Jesus, right? Like, look at us. We've left everything. And then Jesus affirms him. He says, truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children's fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. Peter's going, Jesus, I gave everything up. He's looking at the disciples. We left our houses. We left our jobs. We left everything to trust you and to follow you. And Jesus goes, I know, Peter. But look, let me promise you, I will provide for you. I will guide you, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Not only will you receive eternal life, but I will guide you in that. And I love this quote by David Platt. It says, the church, as God has designed it to be, a people fearlessly holding on to God's word while selflessly and sacrificing to share and show God's love and need around them. This picture right here in verse 29, what he is showing us is that you and I, even though we may feel like we're leaving something on this earth, we are gaining the church. This is God's picture of the church, of saying that, but in other countries, when people confess to know Christ, some of their families abandon them. They kick them out. They're saying, you're not following our ways. We're going to disown you. And they come into the local church, and God is saying, you're coming into this community, and we're sacrificing. We're walking together. We're loving each other. I'm helping your need. You're helping my need. We're walking together in this. I'm praying for you. I'm walking with you in this. And we see this beautiful picture of God's family come together. God's church comes together. And what a beautiful picture for you and I. And for the Low Country, that we get to infiltrate every area of the Low Country. And that's when we say, hey, we want to invite you into community. We're talking about God's community. And when we say, I know it may kind of sound weird, especially if we come from a broken or different family unit, right? And we say, welcome to the family. When you come to know Christ or walking in this, you're my brother and sister in Christ. But this is the picture that we get, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we gain in this age and in the age to come, right? Like we better get to know each other, right? Right? We're about to spend eternity together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, walking together, meeting each other's needs, praying for each other, walking spiritually, helping each other overcome our past and walk through that and all of these different avenues. And Jesus is saying, look, if you just trust me with your life, I will be in the intricate details. I will guide you. I will help you. But first, the decision comes of going, Jesus, every aspect of my life is yours. The thing that is inside of our heart that maybe the Holy Spirit's revealing right now, going, I don't know about that, God. I don't know about that, Jesus. I'm not sure I can give that to you. Jesus is going, look, trust me with it. Trust me with it. Don't be the rich young ruler and go, I can't let go of that. And walk away. Jesus is going to trust me. I want to show you if you'll walk with me in that. And as a church, my commitment to you is that we're going to walk through that together. Hand in hand. Searching through. It may not always be pretty. I'm not telling you I have all the answers, because I don't. I promise. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But we'll walk through it together. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We will walk through all of that that you're holding on to and going, okay, God, here you go. This is the part of me that I need to release. This is the part of me I need help in. This is the part of me I need healing in. This is a part of me that I didn't grow up having, and now I'm trying to fulfill this in Christ, who is the good Father and all these things. God wants to heal that in you, but it takes us releasing it. We're going, God, I'm relying childlike faith on you. May we get back to childlike faith. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that we would come to your feet, God, and that we would give our lives to you. I pray that if there's anybody in this room or listening online who have never trusted their life to you for salvation, they never placed their faith in you, God, I pray that they would take a moment today and have a conversation, God. I pray that you give them the boldness and courage to come pray with me so we can walk through that, God. If they're listening online, I pray that you give them boldness and courage to click on that link. They can walk through that process. God, I pray for the rest of us in the room. I pray that we would be the church that you're describing, God. That we're willing to walk hand in hand as brothers and sisters in Christ. That this is not just a Sunday thing to us, but this is our life. God, I pray that you would take the lead. Jesus, you take the lead. I pray that you bring healing in this room today. I pray that today that we start the process of healing some areas in our lives and in our hearts that maybe we've never even started to talk about yet, God. Things that maybe are holding us back or causing tension and strain in all of our other relationships, God. I pray right now that pasts will be healed. I pray that the process will start and we enter into that dance with you. You take the lead one step at a time, God. I pray for forgiveness to fall in this room, God. Anybody that can hear my voice, I pray forgiveness, God. One is we forgive ourselves because you have first forgiven us. God, I pray that you give us a picture of what good is. Guide us, direct us, God. God, I pray that you lead every area of our life. You are King. You are holy, God. You are our aim. You are our goal. We love you and ask all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.